Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Coffee Break. We're going to start Coffee Break out a little differently today. Now, most of you probably use YouTube, and you might be familiar with this ad. Does this sound familiar to you?
I hear fish on less these days. The fish are here. There's just fewer people on my boats. It's a tough year, and many small businesses are on the ropes. A stable oil industry, supporting local jobs and businesses like mine, is vital, especially today. That's why I'm voting no on ballot measure one. Raising taxes on oil or any business now will hurt Alaskans and our economy even more.
This communication was paid for by One Alaska. Vote no on one. Top contributors are ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips Alaska, and Hillcorp.
Now, one refers to ballot measure number one. It's Alaska's Fair Share Act. Now, the Fair Share Act is expected to increase Alaskans' share of production revenues from about $1 billion a year, normalized to the 55 to 65 per barrel range. With me, not in the studio, but calling in, I have Robin Brenna. Robin is a lifelong Alaskan. He has over 30 years of experience representing clients with interests in Alaska. He's the owner and managing attorney of Brenna, Bell & Walker, PC, which he founded in 1988, and he has been taking on oil companies for quite a while. Robin, can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure to be here, Shane.
Now, for those listening in who aren't familiar with what's going on, maybe they're really busy, it's summer. I know for me personally, this has been kind of an education. You and your associates, they kind of came to us and they were like, hey, we'd like to talk about this. And it was an experience for me learning about this because, and I think for a lot of people, they are familiar, for instance, with those ads. But can you tell us more about what's going on here with the ballot measure number one? Why is this seems to be very tumultuous and there seems to be a lot of conversation going on. If you could tell a little bit about the history of it and what exactly is this act or ballot measure hoping to do?
Well, let me start at the beginning. As Alaskans, we are the stewards for hundreds of billions of dollars of oil resources. They represent the crown jewel of our resources. Prudhoe Bay and Kaparik and Alpine, those massive large fields, they're on state land. It's our oil, it's our land. And from the beginning, our greatest political leaders have been able to negotiate to get a fair share from the revenues from the oil that's being extracted and taken from the state. And that's the reason that Alaska is a modern Alaska. That's the reason that we have a permanent fund. That's the reason we have permanent fund dividends. That's the reason Alaska is what it is. All that changed when the major producers engineered to pass and passed Senate Bill 21 that changed our oil production tax, and we gutted it. It's the largest tax giveaway of our oil resources in Alaska's history. They spent $15 million lobbying the legislature. They only got it passed when their employee legislators voted in favor of huge tax breaks for their employers. They spent $14 million more dollars trying to convince Alaskans not to repeal it, and just barely missed having it repealed. Their basic message is that Alaskans are better off taking less for oil, and that's just simply not the case. So the Fair Share Act is trying to take back some of our share that was taken from us through Senate Bill 21. If it passes, we'll get back about $1 billion, $1.1 billion a year under normal conditions. And that will take us up to less than our average share for the last three decades before Senate Bill 21 passed. So we're not trying to kill a fat hog here. We're just trying to get back up in the range of our average taxes in Alaska, our average share of oil revenues in Alaska over the last three decades. So So that's what we're trying to accomplish. And it's Alaskans that are standing up for Alaska. You mentioned the One Alaska badge. I think they're more accurately called One Texas. 99% of their money comes out of companies based in Houston. And to try and convince you Alaskans that that you're better off taking less for your oil. I should just mention as background that Alaska will get their fair share primarily through two mechanisms, royalties and production taxes. Royalties aren't taxes at all, and we get 12.5%. That is half of what Texas takes. That is half of what Arkansas gets. That is the lowest royalty rate of any state with oil resources in our union. So we get about half of what we should under the royalty side. With regard to the production taxes, we used to get production taxes, and the 5 years, for example, before Senate Bill 21 went into effect, net of credits, we brought in $19 billion, or $3.8 billion a year, almost $4 billion a year. In the 5 years since Senate Bill 21 has been in effect, we have paid the producers more in credits than they have paid us in production taxes. So let me just emphasize this. 5 years before, $19 billion or $3.8 billion a year net of credits. 5 years after, less than zero. If you want to know what's happened to Alaska's economy, if you want to why our university is being gutted, if you want to know why our PFD is a third of what it should be, if you want to know why we don't have a capital budget supporting construction jobs for infrastructure for Alaska's future, the reason is we went from about $4 billion down to zero because the legislature passed Senate Bill 21 engineered by the major producers.
Now, SB 21, that passed in 2013, correct?
It passed in 13, and in effect, January 1, 2014, the year that it was in effect for 6 months, 2013, from 14, we lost $1.6 billion of revenue from 2014. And it was only in effect for 6 months in 14, and the price of oil remained identical both those years at $118. So that shows you the effect of the Fair Share Act. I mean, it shows you the effect of Senate Bill 21 immediately. It was passed at the time under the promises of there would be more investment, more jobs, more production, and ultimately more state production taxes. None of the promises have been kept. There's a slight uptick in investment after it passed from existing projects. But for the last 4 years, investment in Alaska's North Slope has been the lowest it's been in decades. Our jobs have been cut by a third, and the remaining jobs are going to out-of-staters more and more. Production has dropped, and the state revenues went from $19 billion to zero.
Now, I'd like to...
Not a single promise was kept.
I'd like to play one more of these ads because I do have a question to ask you.
I can't hear the ad. I didn't hear the last ad. So if you
okay.
If you just tell me the ad, I can probably respond to it.
Okay, the last ad was Captain Bob talking about fishing.
Okay.
This one is Shampoo Lady.
Okay. Got it.
In my salon, clients are friends. We share a lot, both good and bad. Since we reopened, we talk about the uncertainty, like when will normal return? We need a healthy oil and gas industry to get back there. As a mom and a small business owner, I want a good future for Alaska. That's why it's the wrong time to raise taxes on any business, including oil. And that's why I'm voting no on one.
This communication was paid for by One Alaska. Vote no on one. Top contributors are BP Alaska, ConocoPhillips Alaska, and ExxonMobil.
So besides, the music and the fact that it's like ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, and BP, which I'm like, wow, that's quite the group of people to pay for this. This one, the woman is wearing a mask in this, and she's talking about how she's waiting for things to get back to normal. And it uses what's going on with COVID-19 this year. And she talks about, as a mom and a small business owner, I want a good future for Alaska, and how this is the wrong time to raise taxes on any business. Now, that ad is about, it's kind of playing into what's going on medically and what's going on with this pandemic. The other ad is about tourism, and it's about the idea of oil companies bringing in jobs. But you're saying that this was the argument for SB 21. Now, I'm curious, why did the jobs go down? Because after SB 21 passed, Alaska lost over 5,000 jobs in the oil industry. Why is that?
Well, because they cut all their jobs, even when, regardless of the price of oil, they're not employing one Alaskan more than they need to. And in fact, increasingly, they're bringing people up from the lower 48 to fill Alaskan jobs. I've got a couple comments on both of those ads, though. I think that Alaskans, I mean, if Exxon and BP and Hillcorp and ConocoPhillips don't want to pay taxes in Alaska, and they don't want to pay Alaskans a fair share for their oil, then I think they ought to just say so. What they're doing in a $9 million so far misinformation campaign is hiding behind common Alaskans just trying to make a living up here. And that should offend most Alaskans to have a sea captain out of Valdez in an ad paid for by Exxon talking about Alaskans should take less for their oil. That ought to bother folks, just like that putting a hairdresser up. And God bless the small businesses in Alaska, they're struggling. But one reason they're struggling, the major reason that they're struggling, and this is before the pandemic, is because we're not getting anything for our oil. If we get a fair share for our oil, it will help small businesses in Alaska. It will bring in $1.1 billion under normal conditions. $1.1 billion is the equivalent of 11,000 jobs at $100,000 a year. It is a massive, massive uptick for Alaska if we're able to keep more of our oil wealth in Alaska. I can't think of any other way for Alaskans to help their economy more than quit letting our wealth go to Texas. So bottom line here is if Alaskans are really concerned with small businesses, they should vote for the Fair Share Act, because it will keep $1.1 billion more of our oil wealth in Alaska, and that will have a multiplier effect of probably 5 or 6 to 1. So it's going to mean $5 or $6 billion of additional economic activity in Alaska. And it's exactly what we need to help small businesses in Alaska today. So in terms of their trying to use the pandemic, we lost 5,500 jobs. We lost a third of our jobs before the pandemic got here. Our production revenues went from $19 billion to zero before the pandemic got there. I don't even take into consideration, before the pandemic, we had the highest unemployment rate in our union. Other oil states, North Dakota, they had the lowest unemployment rate in the world.
Now, I'd like to talk to you more about that. Robin, we do have a caller on the air.
Okay. Greetings. One of the points that is rarely brought up, I don't think it ever has in my view, is that the oil industry is hurting themselves with this too. Having a state that's close to bankruptcy is not helping them as far as infrastructure. The haul road is in sad shape. Truckers leaving Valdez with sensitive oil equipment. A lot of times that equipment is damaged by the time it gets to Prudhoe Bay. Oil workers have families in school when there's cutbacks in the whole infrastructure of the state. It hurts them, too. Airports, docks, the whole infrastructure. And so it works against them in so many ways. I would like to hear you address that. Thanks.
Thank you, caller.
First, thank you for the question. I agree with the caller completely. And it goes beyond what even the caller mentioned. If you and I wanted to start an oil company and we're thinking about where to move to try and explore for oil, would we choose Alaska right now with the state deficit being what it is? All of the political risk in Alaska is maybe born by new people coming up here. If we can't take care of our own financial shop in Alaska, then we represent political risk that's completely unnecessary. And what we're doing by giving away our oil is increasing the risk of doing business in Alaska for people that we're trying to attract. It just doesn't make any sense. Take Prudhoe Bay, for example. We give Prudhoe Bay for production at Prudhoe Bay. We are giving away $750 million a year of our oil wealth to produce oil that's been produced out of Prudhoe for over three decades with no incentive at all, that they have a legal duty to produce, and from Prudhoe, it's a field that's the largest, most profitable conventional oil field in North America. So we're sitting here paying the industry $750 million. That's $2 out of three that's at stake in the Fair Share Act. $2 out of three is paying people to produce oil they would have produced anyway and have been producing for three decades with no incentive at all. So our money is just going to big oil and leaving the state. And we're trying to attract folks that we need to manage our own affairs. If we can't manage our own affairs and manage our own deficit, which we can't without getting a fair share, then there's a lot of political risk in Alaska. And the way to solve that uncertainty is to pass the Fair Share Act to get a balanced budget and to go back to business as usual and not to continue to force us into an artificial recession to enrich in the coffers of out-of-state companies.
This is Coffee Break, 907-835-5080 or 1-800-478-5080. I'm talking with Robin Brennan, Alaska attorney. We're discussing the Fair Share Act, Ballot Measure 1. I wanted to ask you about that, Robin. What has the Dunleavy administration response been to all this?
Well, to their credit, it hasn't been to come out against it. And I think that... I don't know. I haven't talked with Governor Dunleavy about it, but were I him, what are his choices? I mean, let's just take a frank look at what Alaskans' choices are, whether it's this administration or any other administration that's there. What are our choices? Right now, we have no capital budget. We have a $500 million deficit with no PFD at all. So we're $500 million in the hole with spending no meaningful money on a capital budget or a PFD. We add a PFD for $1,000 that adds $680 million, and then we're down $1.2 billion to $1.5 billion. So what are the choices here? We can in order to raise the $1.1 billion that the Fair Share Act will raise. We can cut the heck out of essential services, but that won't get us there. We can eliminate the PFD. That's only $680 million. That won't get us there. And we can start taxing ourselves. Well, like most Alaskans, I don't mind paying my fair share of taxes, and I do, but I'll be darned if I want to be paying taxes for the oil value that we're giving away to Exxon.
Let me just
summarize that point. So Governor Dunleavy or any other governor that's there doesn't have a whole lot of choices. It's coming down to eliminate the PFD, make massive cuts beyond the cuts that have already been made, and you can forget about a capital budget. And even then, we're going to be $500 million off blowing through our savings that we no longer have any of. So if somebody has a better choice, If somebody has a better idea than the Fair Share Act about how to raise $1.1 billion, I just hope that their idea isn't let's keep giving away our own Exxon, but let's go ahead and start taxing Alaskans to make up for what we're giving away in our oil resources.
Now, last year in 2019, the Dunleavy administration brought out a budget that really caused quite the ruckus in the state, with a lot of cuts to a lot of different parts of society, including, homeless shelters, food banks, education, public radio was affected. A lot of this stuff was redacted, though, to a certain extent, but it was a very drastic budget cut, and there was a lot of talk at the time. Well, why do these things need to be cut when we could just, you know, get more money from these companies like we used to? I'm curious to ask you, what do you think is the reason that people are defending this, or people are for not taxing oil companies, even though, like you've said, the last 10 years, it seems to not have, you know, jobs have not been created, revenue's not coming in. I'm curious, like, why do you think people are supporting this? Why do you think people don't want taxes for oil companies? Is it because of do you think it's a sort of a notion that if you'll scare them away or something?
Well, a couple thoughts here. First, there's been three Alaskans donate money to our opposition. So I don't think that they have that much support. I think that they use fear and misinformation in multi-million dollar campaigns, and I think they drill more in Juneau than they do in the North Slope. So I think that we're taking a look at what the future of Alaska is if we aren't proper stewards for our oil resources and we just turn over our policies to the oil companies. The oil will be taken and not paid. But secondly, you know, Shane, this isn't a tax issue to me. It's a fair share issue. You know, this is Alaska's oil and this is Alaska's land. And we're talking about what our part of the deal should be. Now, the other side likes to characterize this like we're raising taxes. No, we're giving away our oil here. And we're just, the Fair Share Act uses production taxes to get our fair share. But fundamentally, this is about what Alaskans should be getting for the sale of their own oil. And that is an ownership. That is an ownership concern and a commercial negotiation. So I think that people that oppose to it aren't familiar with the history and background. I think people are being frayed by being made to fear what they don't know by multi-million dollar slick media campaigns. But the bottom line here is that we need to get our fair share or Alaska doesn't work. There aren't choices to it. The kind of budget that Dunleavy proposed is just a glimpse into the future. It gets much, much worse because even that budget relied upon spending and savings that we've now exhausted. Let me put this in some context. ConocoPhillips has increased their dividends to their shareholders by 60% in the last 2 years. Conoco, we've cut ours to a third of the statutory amount. ConocoPhillips has increased, reauthorized their stock repurchase program from their shareholders from $10 billion to $25 billion 3 months ago. They've just said that instead of $10 billion of buying their own stock, they're going to buy back $25 billion, and they did it 3 months ago. And ConocoPhillips, since Senate Bill 21 has been in effect, has paid down $12 billion of debt. Well, what's happening up here is our dividends are being cut. Our essential services are being cut. And we are blowing through our savings, and we're pretty much out of savings, and the picture is bleak going forward. So the question for Alaskans is, do you want to get a fair share for your oil, or do you want Alaska to go to hell in a handbasket with you paying more taxes because it is?
Yeah, well said. I mean, I think the full 2019 earnings of ConocoPhillips, I think it was, what, $7.2 billion? Which is...
Yeah, ConocoPhillips, since Senate Bill 21 has passed, and this is important to note, one of the most important things the Fair Share Act does is it requires their tax filings, or their production tax filings for their major fields to be public, to be public. So we will know how, what their revenues and costs and profits are for each of the major producers, each of our three major units, which represent 85% of our total production. So we won't have to sit around here and wonder about how we're doing. In my experience, you can either have the information and have a seat at the table and negotiate and protect Alaska's future, or you cannot have the information and be on the table like a turkey served up for dinner. Those are the only two places we can be. And right now, without the Alaska, without the Fair Share Act, without the Fair Share Act, we will never know the information we need in order to set optimal oil policies for Alaska and for the oil producers. So I was going to say ConocoPhillips has made, since Senate Bill 21, 70% of their worldwide profits from Alaska. 70% of ConocoPhillips' worldwide profits have come from Alaska. They have invested only 15% of their capital investment back into Alaska. They're taking our oil, they're taking our money, and they're leaving Alaska with it, and they're turning it over to shareholder increased dividends and stock repurchase programs and paying off debt while Alaska's going broke.
Well, and it's weird with the advertising campaigns, and you know, for the last 20 years or so, there's always been this, like, you know, the rugged individualism, you know, blah, 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 libertarian, you know, pioneer spirit. And it's fascinating to me to have a company from, for instance, Texas, you know, compare themselves to like a hairdressing small business in Palmer. I mean, it's almost, to me, it's kind of brazen in a sense. It's it kind of makes you want to, you know, test the waters. But also, I don't really know anybody who is against the Fair Share Act. I mean, everyone I've talked to who, you know, people that work on the slope, and I did kind of informal polling before having this conversation with you, where I talked to people that I knew across the state and also in this very community, and everyone seemed to be somewhat in agreement about this. And now you're arguing that it tends to be just a few people. They tend to have, I'm assuming, boatloads of money. And what can so the person listening in right now, Robin, a person who's listening to this show, and maybe they're, and I'll be honest with you, and I think I speak for a lot of people listening, there's a little bit of, not rage, but a little annoyance, or a little bit of like, well, wait a second, when you tell me, you know, 70% of the oil comes from Alaska, but the 15% is put back in, what can the average person do to change this?
What every great Alaska leader has done since we found oil, insist on getting a fair share for it, because it just doesn't work. These major companies up here, it is their fiduciary duty to pay less, the least amount they can in taxes, optimize their shareholder value. That is their responsibility, and they are very aggressive in Alaska in doing it. In Texas, in 2019, they paid more in oil and gas revenues in Texas than they ever did in their history of Texas. And just the opposite is true in Alaska. You know, we have to be able to stand up for Alaska. So how do you stand up for Alaska? You go to Vote Yes for Alaska's Fair Share, go to our website, volunteer, give us some money. I mean, we Alaskans, 99% of the money supporting the Fair Share Act is coming from working Alaskans. It's not coming from Houston and big international oil companies. I just think that Alaskans are individual. I don't think Alaskans I think they understand, and they will not be convinced that we're better off taking less for our oil twice in a row after they failed in keeping any of the promises they made to get Senate Bill 21 passed and kept in effect. I think it's time, you know, to put it in a perspective. We wouldn't need an initiative if the legislature was doing its job. I mean, so it's the complete control of our Alaskan political system by a few major oil companies spending tens of millions of dollars to influence Alaska that it's our problem. It's time for Alaskans to put a little tea in the Boston Harbor and take back Alaska and get a fair share so that we have a future here and aren't being treated like a third world country.
It does remind me a little bit of the oil, I guess the oil drilling and stuff in third world countries. A little bit of background, I actually used to work on the slope doing seismic work in the Cook Inlet. And the last year was 2014, actually. And I remember the jobs dried up right after that. I remember going, well, is there going to be, you know, is there going to be work next year? Oh, no, there's not work next year. And
peak employment occurred on the day that the repeal failed. That week, you may recall, BP had a press release and laid off 400 people, and we've lost 5,500 jobs since. So, they don't add jobs or subtract jobs in Alaska because they have to pay their fair share. They add jobs in Alaska because they need the work done to continue to produce liquids in Alaska so they can take it out of the state. That's the reason that they employ us, not out of any sense of loyalty. And they don't have one Alaskan job out of loyalty. They cut their costs to the quick. It's what they do. And they're good at what they do. And I'm not being critical of any oil company with a profit motive pursuing that profit motive. What I think we need to do is have Alaskans, they're well represented. It's time for Alaska to be better represented, to stand up for itself and insist on its fair share.
Kind of equals at a table. There seems to be almost, and it reminds me a bit of when I was driving through the South. You know, I go through like one industry towns, for instance, coal mining towns or cotton towns, and there was a sense of, you know, the company store or, you know, these companies that had this singular industry and they were kind of overwhelming the industry. But, you know, looking at it as if there's a foreign enterprise coming in, you know, oh, by the way, we might have a caller. I'm not sure. No.
Okay.
Give us we do, I think. Sorry, I'm hallucinating the light. Give me a call, 907-835-5080, 1-800-478-5080. I have attorney Robin Brenna on the phone. We're talking about one of the most heated conversations that you can really have in Alaska, be it at your church, your family table, or the bar. That is oil and the Fair Share Act. It is interesting, though, because what you're arguing, I think, more than anything, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just for Alaskans to be an equal at the table with oil companies and to not be subservient to it or to be afraid, because they seem to play out a lot, and I'm not trying to be a biased person here, but watching the ads and looking at their platform, it kind of feels like when somebody's in an abusive relationship and they threaten to leave because you burnt the macaroni.
Well, let me put this in an abusive relationship, one party is doing something wrong to another party. This is like blaming a shark for eating. You know, it isn't personal. There's nothing wrong with their behavior. It's not their behavior that's the challenge here. It's Alaskans' behavior, understanding the issue, understanding that they have the responsibility to future generations of Alaska to be proper stewards for our oil resources. So I'm not here. I've made a living in the oil industry. I'm very pro-industry kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes down to, and what's good for the industry is usually what's good for Alaska. But when it comes down to it, and what's good for the industry is bad for Alaska, then what team are you going to go join? And the team that I choose to join in that situation is Alaska, because I'm a lifelong Alaskan and I love Alaska. And I think that most Alaskans think that way, and I think most Alaskans understand that we have been in a recession since Senate Bill 21 passed, and it's no accident that those two happened simultaneously. You know, the price of oil dropped, and they wanted to blame it on the price of oil, but then the price of oil came back, but our economy didn't. And one reason our economy doesn't come back when the price of oil comes back is the major reason is Senate Bill 21 eliminated all progressivity. So we just, oil price doesn't save us anymore. Nothing saves us anymore. As long as we have Senate Bill 21, it does really, really bad in low oil price environments and really, really bad in medium oil price environments and really, really bad in high price oil environments, and transfers all the commodity risk to Alaskans. Nobody else does that with major oil resources. Nobody else does that but us. So we got taken. We got taken to the cleaners through Senate Bill 21, largest oil resource giveaway in Alaska's history. And we need to get some of it back to be fair. And to put what fair means in context, we have historically got 27% of our gross, of the gross revenues generated from our oil. That's what we've historically gotten. We're getting about 12.5% now. Texas and North Dakota are getting about 30% now. We're not getting squat for our oil now. When Sarah Palin was governor with a 90% approval rating, we got 38% of our gross during the Palin administration. So to put it in perspective, if the Fair Share Act passes, we'd be up in 25, 26. We'd be less than our average percentage ever since we've been producing oil. It's fair. It's fair to the industry. It's fair to Alaskans. They want to fight hard and spend tens of millions of dollars to avoid paying us our fair share. They have that choice of doing that. Alaskans are going to go to the ballot box and make a choice of whether or not we're better off taking far less for our oil than any other major resource owner in the world. And I think that Alaskans are going to get it right. And thinking through this, I mean, you know, the industry, they're not just a little aggressive in trying to get out of paying taxes in Alaska. They're lots aggressive. You know, we had in Valdez, we litigated the cases concerning the assessed value of the Trans-Alaska pipeline system. They took positions for over a decade that TAPS was worth 8% of what the Alaska Supreme Court said it was worth twice. So you want to know how aggressive their tax positions are in Alaska? There's a good example of it. They went in and put on a case. We had 86 witnesses, went to the Alaska Supreme Court twice, and through that entire...
Robin? Hey, Robin, I can't hear you. I think your phone might have died, or you might be on mute. Well, while we wait for Robin to get back on the air, give me a call, 907-835-5080 or 1-800-478-5080. This is Coffee Break. I've been talking with Robin Brenna. He's an Alaskan attorney. We've been talking about the Fair Share Act or Ballot Measure 1. So to let you know a little bit about that, the Fair Share Act will be on the ballot for the 2020 general election as Proposition 1, Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. The polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'm going to play you a few more ads of the One Alaska ad campaign, and hopefully we can get Robin back on the line.
Yeah.
Most years, this place is buzzing with RVs and campers. Only weekends are busy now. Normal just ain't happening. And Alaskans have lost jobs in record numbers. I'm worried about what's next. Oil industry spending and jobs keep small businesses afloat. Raising taxes now on any business, even oil companies, will hurt our economy and jobs. I'm voting no on ballot measure one.
This communication was paid for by One Alaska. Vote no on one. Top contributors are ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips Alaska, and Hillcorp.
I've worked in Alaska hospitality industry for 15 years, and last month I had to lay off staff for the first time ever. Locally owned businesses like ours depend on a stable Alaskan economy that supports good jobs. Now we're facing an oil tax ballot measure that puts our economy more at risk. Small businesses like mine already have enough on our plate.
Learn more at onealaska.com. This communication was paid for by One Alaska. Top contributors are ConocoPhillips Alaska, ExxonMobil, and Hillcorp.
Robin is back on the air as well. I don't know what happened with the phones, but I will say it's nice to live in the modern Alaska where phones drop and that's like kind of an irregularity, not a constant. Robin, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Shane.
So you were talking about taps, right?
Yeah, I was just saying that the industry tries to avoid paying taxes in Alaska, and I don't fault them for it. I wouldn't analogize it to an abusive relationship. I think we need to stand up for ourselves, and we need to sit at the table with the proper information and establish oil policies that are good for the industry and good for Alaska.
Well, I should have said having tea with a bear. Here, one second.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, coffee break.
Yeah, that's much better.
Yes.
And the point is,
we have a caller, Robin.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Brenna to explain the tax credits and how the oil companies are using them.
I'm happy to. They receive, there's several types of tax credits. The major one that the Fair Share Act eliminates is the $8 per barrel credit based on production in our major three fields, the Prudhoe Bay Unit, the Kuparuk River Unit, and the Colville River Unit. And so that is that we give away $8 for every barrel produced from the three of the largest, most profitable oil fields in North America. And so so if they owe $100 million, and that $8 that $8 a barrel is $50 million, and they only pay $50 million. That is the major impact of the Fair Share Act on our credits, that it eliminates unnecessary credits for our major low-cost, high-profit fields. It eliminates those $8 per production barrel credits from those fields. And I mentioned, like, in 2018, in Prudhoe Bay alone, it was $744 million that they reduced our share from Prudhoe Bay just because of this $8 deduction. And under ACES, they would have got 20% of their investment. They only invested capital investment in Prudhoe in 2018, $202 million. So we're giving them four times more money than they're actually investing in Prudhoe as an incentive to invest in Prudhoe.
we would be so much better off. You don't plant a dollar to grow a nickel. And in Prudhoe Bay, we're planting $750 million a year, and the investment that we're getting is $200 million a year, and that's the difference between that's a huge difference to us. So that's the main thing. The Fair Share Act eliminates that $8 per barrel credit for our three major low-cost, high-profit fields that should be paying Alaskans a fair share today. Now, there's other kinds of credits. Historically, there's been a credit. There's been a credit for the producers that don't have any production, and I call those cashable credits or awarded credits. And we still have on the books $770 million of awarded credits that we can't afford to pay the small producers that are developing fields that aren't in production yet. And what's happened with regard to those credits is this is typically what happens. So they went down to Juneau and they tinkered with the credits and they threw all the small independents under the bus, eliminated their credits, didn't pay their credits, and then kept paying the major producers credits at the field that don't require any. So that's the way Juneau is working right now. So we still have to pay. We're having to go out and borrow $800 million. We're having to borrow money to pay for credits under our production system that we couldn't even afford to pay. There's not enough money being generated under the production revenue system in order to even pay for the credits. And I mentioned going in that the revenue's in. We're paying out more than we're getting in. It's a ridiculous situation. A situation that I can't find anywhere else in the world, and they're making huge margins doing it. So I hope that I explained the different types of credits, the deducted credits from the major fields that the Fair Share Act would eliminate, and I hope I adequately described the awarded or cash credits, and that we're having to go out and borrow money to pay those back. And that the small independents, the people that we're trying to attract to Alaska, are the people that Big Oil threw under the bus to keep their credits.
Yeah. Thank you, caller, for that question. I was waiting for a response, but I guess they were off. How long have you been doing this, like fighting the oil companies? They're, according to Alaska Public Media, nearly three decades you stayed away from politics largely.
Well, first, I have represented far more oil companies. I'm not against the oil industry. I don't sue the oil industry. What I have done in representing my oil and gas clients is, and they have been the largest refiner in Alaska. They have been the largest independent producer in Alaska. Every drilling contractor in Alaska, at one point or another, and lots of small independent producers. What I have fought for is to equalize the playing field for independent oil companies to be able to come to Alaska. When that involves litigation, usually against the major oil companies. So when you say against the oil industry, I've been fighting for a fair deal for the independents in Alaska. When I got involved in TAPS, for example, originally it was over the transportation rate. The TAPS owners, which was Exxon, BP, and ConocoPhillips, were making about 120 or 130% return a year. In fact, you may recall Conoco left the state when it was just Conoco because they said there's no money in the oil fields because it's all in TAPS, it's all in the transportation rates. So they left Alaska, didn't come back to Alaska until they were ConocoPhillips and they owned part of TAPS. So a good deal of my litigation has been on behalf of the industry, trying to get a fair deal for industry participants against other industry participants. And those industry participants are the ones that just dominate the fields and are able to extract monopoly rents from Alaska's infrastructure. So I've only been, I represent some taxing authorities, but only got involved in that because of my background within the industry. So I think it's fair to say that I've represented four or five times more oil companies than I have people opposed to oil companies. So, but in this situation, I'm just trying to be sure that Alaska gets what's fair for it, even though it represents a risk to my livelihood to do that.
Well, it is interesting because you talk about your experiences, you know, working for oil companies. And I think a lot of people that support the Alaska Fair Share Act also have worked for oil companies. And I thought it was really heartening going on your website. There's the link with Facebook and, you know, quote unquote friends, Facebook friends, or, you know, people that I know that like that page, because you have over 4,000 likes. One person is, they're like, fairly left-leaning liberal folk musician right next to somebody who's pretty far right, loves the guns, independent, you know, that kind of Alaskan, likes to prep. Another person, very, like, Republican. There seems to be a large coalition of people from all different political varieties that seem to be for this, people from all walks of life, which I find very encouraging.
The primary sponsors of this, I am a fiscal conservative independent voter who is a businessman and has fought to support the oil industry in Alaska through my entire career and be sure that it can make a living up here. I fought to lower the taxes for the drilling contractors. I fought to lower the taxes for the refiners in Alaska. When the taxes get out of whack and the industry's paying more than they should, I've been someone that they've been hired to balance it out. On the other hand, when the equities get so far out of line like they have been with Senate Bill 21, I've fought to get what's fair for Alaska. And that's what I'm doing here. The other two primary sponsors, one's a Republican and one's a Democrat. I'm the independent. And we have a Democrat, a progressive Democrat, and we have a conservative Republican, and that is our panel. And the issue isn't partisan. Our polling indicates that we're leading Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. And so this is not a partisan issue. It's an Alaskan issue. And in fact, the irony of this is that this entire structure that we're defending, you know, the permanent fund, the PFDs, we have folks like Clem Tillian, as conservative and as pro-Alaskan as the guy as you have. He's the protector. He's the chair of the protector of the permanent fund. He endorses the Fair Share Act. So the irony is that what we are fighting for is to keep in place a system that was put in place by Republicans, by Governor Hammond, by the Republicans that have sat at the table and negotiated our fair share for decades. So what's happened in Alaska isn't explainable on a partisan basis. It's not explainable on a liberal conservative basis. This is Alaska and whether we should get a fair share for our oil, and that affects everybody across the board. I don't know any conservatives that say, you own something, go get the worst deal you can for it. That isn't the pro-industry perspective of most Alaskans. But what we see in Alaska is the huge influence of a few oil and gas companies on our political process. And so I think we're going to get, I think we have and are going to continue to get a lot of support from conservatives, because they know what's right, and they know what's good for Alaska, and they know a good deal from a bad deal, And I don't know any Alaskans that are going to stand up and say, yeah, let's keep giving our oil away to Exxon, and let's go pass some taxes and cut our PFDs and put at risk our permanent fund. So it's not partisan. It's not about taxes. It's Alaskan issue, and it's about a fair share for our own resources.
Yeah, roger that. You know, if you got the cookies and they're popular enough, sell them. Don't keep them, you know. And, well, I think it's about time to go. We did go over time. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, though? We're already over time, so it's public radio. Don't worry. We don't have to go to advertising.
Well, I want to say, you know, how thankful I am for how many Alaskans have been contacting me of every partisan background and in the industry and out of the industry, just supporting it, that this is a grassroots Alaskans, funded by Alaskans, trying to stand up for Alaskans because our political structure no longer stands up for Alaskans and gets us our fair share of our oil resources. It's just failed us. And that's why this initiative is necessary. It's direct democracy. This is exactly the kind of situation that the initiative was intended to do. When you have your political process captured by the strength of a few powerful industries or by the strength of a few powerful companies, Alaskans need a voice. And so this is Alaskans' opportunity. My personal commitment to Alaskans was to get this on the ballot and to give Alaskans a choice about whether or not they want to get a fair share for their oil or whether they want to continue to give it away, and with it, Alaska's future. So we need your help. So please go to our website, volunteer, throw in some money. If you want to stand up for Alaska, there is no more important issue this November that you're going to vote on than whether Alaska should get a fair share of its own oil.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, as someone who, and I'm speaking for us in Valdez, but, you know, the ferry service, which was cut, you know, for 9 months, people in Cordova, that's a huge part of our listening base. Over 70,000 Alaskans were affected by the ferry cuts, for instance, and that is directly related to this issue, particularly to SB 21 and the fact that we just don't have enough money.
The ferry system needs $100 million. The Fair Share Act will bring in $1.1 billion. Our university system needs $75 million. I mean, but our PFDs are a third of what they should be. You know, these people that say that they support our PFDs or support our permanent fund but oppose the Fair Share Act, what's their plan for how to keep paying PFDs or protect the permanent fund? You can't claim to like the fruit as you're chopping down the tree. And the tree is the fair share of our oil resources and whether we continue to get it. If we don't get it, the fruit of that tree will stop. And that's the reality that we're faced with. So if you're an Alaskan that supports the permanent fund and PFDs, you got to support this, because otherwise we've blown through our savings. Now we're down to the actual corpus that's going to pay the PFDs. So we're cannibalizing our PFD right now in multiple ways. If you don't like massive and unequitable cuts to the quality of our life because of our ferry systems, because of our university systems, because of our K-12 education. My cardiologist left the state because he didn't believe that Alaska could educate his children under its current political and economic situation. So he left the state and took a salary job in Denver. So if you're someone that doesn't want to cut into the bone and muscle of government, you should be supporting us. If it's somebody that wants jobs in Alaska, you have to keep more of our oil wealth in Alaska, creating jobs for Alaskans. So it doesn't matter what your perspective is, you ought to be supporting this.
Well, I think you've made a lot of really good points, and I mean, I'm you know, I have to be an impartial interviewer, Robin. I have to.
No, you don't.
Come on. is... I have made an offer. I've been advertising this. I've made an offer to any of the oil companies. Like, hey, if you want to come on and explain to me how you're helping Fisherman Bob and how this is going to work, let us know. You know, we'd like to have both sides on, but I think that what you're arguing for is really a strategy that is, it's not even bipartisan. I think it's like post-partisan. It's not really political. It's much more of basic tenets that we have as a civilization. By the way, we got a caller. They either have a question or they're going to talk to me about getting back to regular programming. Here we go. Caller, you're on the air.
Jane?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You said I'm on the air?
Yeah.
I meant to just call the office.
Oh, hi. Okay. No worries. Call in about 5 minutes. We're about to get off the show.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye. That voice sounded familiar. Do you know her? I think that might have been somebody from Fair Share about getting this set episode. Well, Robin, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And before you go, let's just let people know about voting, which is on November 3rd, Tuesday. Polls open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m.
And you can ask for a ballot early. And go ahead and vote early. And if we can bank votes, please don't forget to vote. Please don't put yourself in a position where, because of the pandemic, you're unable to. We need folks to show up and vote for Alaska. We need for this to work. And if anybody out there has a better plan, you know, what's their plan? I haven't heard one that doesn't involve cutting our dividend, draconian cuts in our budget, and forgetting about capital budgets or jobs in Alaska. I haven't heard it.
And
so,
Robin,
don't allow people to get away with opposing this, and then without asking them, well, what's your plan? Because their plan involves you all paying more taxes, getting more cuts to essential services, your dividend being lost, and no capital jobs in Alaska from capital projects.
And Robin, I think we have one more caller. Caller?
Okay. Yes. I called earlier. I have another question. If vote yes on one passes, won't there be massive layoffs? That's my first question. My second question is, what does Mr. Brenna get out of this if it passes? I'll hang up and listen to you.
Okay, so the first question is, won't there be massive layoffs? No, there isn't any objective evidence whatsoever that getting under our average share for the last three decades, which the Fair Share Act will do, is going to result in the loss of a single job in Alaska. And for those folks that want to go out there and just, the Scott Jepsons of the world that want to just talk about their investment in Alaska is going to dry up. They're not investing squat up here now, but ask them to know the economics of their projects to see whether or not paying a fair share to Alaskans will impact those economics at all. They will never show you those economics because they're doing just fine. And, Governor Hammond said is, if I had this all to do over again, you know what I'd do? He said, I'd start at a 99% tax, and I would lower it until the drilling rig started drilling. And so we're at zero and worrying about getting under our average. So there's not going to be any impact. The impact to Alaska is going to be that we have $1.1 billion more in the Alaskan economy that is going to circulate in the Alaska economy and have $5 or $6 billion of total impact. It's going to represent thousands of new jobs. If instead of paying Exxon and ConocoPhillips money just to go give dividends to their shareholder, if we gave the money to your caller, $1.1 billion a year from the Fair Share Act, and told them all you have to do is write checks to the first 11,000 Alaskans for $100,000 a year every year, That would be more jobs than the entire oil and gas sector employs in Alaska, and we would be in an economic boom. So if we want to invest $1.1 billion of our money in giving it away and not getting anything for it, then we should give it to your last caller and just say, give this money in $100,000 checks every year to 11,000 Alaskans, and we would be economically booming. What do I get out of it? Not a damn thing. In fact, I put my career at risk by standing up for Alaska. I've donated, unlike the folks that are saying, trying to convince you that taking less for your oil is good for Alaska, this is costing me money. I'm donating money to give Alaskans a choice over their own future. And I hope that your caller takes that choice and does what's best for Alaska.
Well, Robin, well said. I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I'd love to have you back on the show. I think we have one more caller. Maybe.
Okay.
Nope, they hung up. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And
it's been my pleasure to talk with you. Happy to come back anytime. Like I said, I think this is the most important issue facing Alaskans. If we don't have our fair share, Alaska doesn't work. And if we do have our fair share, then it's a necessary part of any solution for Alaska's future that represents any kind of Alaska that we all want to live in.
Yeah. I would love to have you on the show, maybe after voting day, or maybe right before, actually, to remind people just about this. We're hoping to expand our political coverage, particularly on coffee break during that time. But thanks so much for coming on, and it was really informative, and I hope the best for you and for the Fair Share Act. And I think people are for it. I think it's going to go really well. That's my knee acting up, but I have a hunch. I think it's going to go great.
I think I'd rather be us guys than them guys, because although they're spending tens of millions of dollars before this is said and done, probably, we have one advantage that they don't have, and that is that we're telling the truth and trying to be square with Alaskans. And that makes a big difference. I think it costs less to tell the truth.
That's very true. Truth, the one of the nicest things about truth is that it's free. Which is,
Shane, it's been my pleasure to join you this morning. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Robin. Take care.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.